Let's turn to Luke 11, and we have been studying here the subject of prayer. We're trying to build on some of the insights God gave to some of us. About 17 of us went out to a pastor school in Hammond, Indiana back in February, or March rather, and we heard a lot of good preaching. The theme was called With Christ in the School of Prayer. It was based on the book by Andrew Murray that he wrote back in the 1800s. Called by that name, With Christ in the School of Prayer. And we learned a lot in Hammond, and we've been just going through this text right here that Andrew Murray wrote his book on, where the disciples said in verse 1 to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. One of his disciples said unto him, verse 1. Isn't that great? I love it when adult men are still teachable. When adult men are still teachable, that's good. That's good, amen? And I hope we're like that. That's what you call humility, when you can be an adult. We don't know which one. Well, I guess maybe we'll find out in heaven. We don't know. It said, Lord, teach us to pray. And so the Lord began to do that. And now we're up to lesson number 8 tonight. And I don't have time to review the other lessons. I'm sorry. But we've been going through this prayer, this model prayer, statement by statement. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Now, he wasn't teaching us some vain repetition, because he warned us against that as a heathen practice in Matthew chapter 6. He was rather giving us an outline of proper prayer, and we've dug in very deeply into these statements. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. The first part about prayer is all about the Father. It's not about us. It's not about us just going with a grocery list of wants and needs and greeds and saying, okay, here's my list for today, God. No, no, it's all about Him. It's about building His kingdom. It's about doing His will. It's about glorifying His name. And then we get to us in verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us, deliver us, verse 4. And so the Lord is teaching us a model prayer here to focus on the Father first, to focus on His name, to focus on His kingdom, to focus on His will. And so a lot of praying needs to be about the Lord's kingdom. What's that? That's people. And so you pray for people, and you pray for missionaries, and you pray for ministries to prosper, and you pray for your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you pray for government officials, and all those other things that the Bible tells us is God's will, and who will have all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So you pray for the unsaved. And then after you pray about God and about God's work and about people and ministries and missionaries, then you get down to praying for your provision, verse 3. And lately we've been looking at verse 4, and I think the sixth message was entitled Liberation Praying. It says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And this word forgive means to leave or to liberate. Liberate us our sins, for we also liberate everyone that is indebted to us. And we talked about the need to forgive other people. So liberate them from whatever it is that they've done to you, hurt you, offended you, whatever. You need to let it go. And if not, the Lord will not liberate us from our sins. Liberation praying. We talked about liberation praying. And then we talked in lesson 7 about leadership praying. And lead us not into temptation. And we talked how God does not tempt us with evil. He never tempts any man with evil. He doesn't have anything to do with evil. He stays away from it. When we follow Him, when we say, Lord, lead us not into temptation, when we follow the Lord, He will lead us as far away from temptation as imaginable. We talked about Eve. She was hanging around temptation. She was too close to temptation. She parked herself right by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she didn't meet God there. She met the devil there. And the devil began to talk to her and reason her and began to tempt her. And if you look at that temptation in Genesis 3, he tempted her with the world and the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. He tempted her with that. See, she was hanging around. She was too close to temptation. God was nowhere near that. God had to come looking for her later. So where are you? Where are you, Adam? And see, a lot of people want to live really close to temptation and then expect God to, you know, meet them there and help them there. No, that's not how it works. Lead us not into temptation. When we follow the Lord, he leads us as far away from it as possible. And when we get real close, well, I'm going to get as close to this temptation as I can without stepping over the line. But you meet somebody there waiting for you. And it's not God. It's the devil. And that's where he parks himself and says, hey, let me show you this. And down we go. Leadership praying. Now, tonight I want to look at the statement for a little while, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. I'll call this tonight double deliverance praying. Double deliverance praying. Or if you want to continue in alliteration, we'll call it lifesaver praying. Liberation praying, leadership praying, and lifesaver praying. This word deliver means rescue or preserve. Rescue or preserve. Rescue us from evil or preserve us from evil. And so rescue refers to the past. Preserve us from evil refers to the future. And thus we have double deliverance. But it's through prayer. This needs to be a part of our prayer lives. Often we have not because why? We ask not. And there's many times where we do not have the deliverance, the so complete deliverance God wants us to have because we just never asked for it. Now, I don't know about how your prayer life is, but my lists are long and growing every day. And so I have to spend a lot of time in prayer. I have a list of people I pray for who I know who are saved, church members. I probably try to pray for all of you often. I have a whole list of unsaved people I pray for. I pray for government officials. I have a whole calendar. I've shared that with you of all the government officials I pray for. And why? Because the Lord said that I exhort therefore that prayer be made for those in authority over us. 1 Timothy 2. I'm supposed to pray for those in authority over us. Then I pray for, I have a whole list of the missionaries, and then all the ministries of the church, and then I have a special prayer list that I try to go over every day of some really urgent needs people have shared my way. And you know, I don't know about you, but by the time, and that stuff all comes under verse 2. A lot of times when I get done through all of that, it's taken me a long time to pray if I'm doing it right, not just reciting words. Sometimes I'll forget to pray for myself towards the end, especially this last prayer, deliver us from evil. And I've noticed a pattern in my life that when I seem to get overcome by some evil or sin or temptation or whatever it might be, that if I will examine my prayer habits at that season in my life, I have forgotten to pray this prayer. Because I'm so busy praying for everybody else. Maybe some of you are like that. We need to be careful. There needs to be some time. You know, the Savior said to those in the garden, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And he said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He came back the third time and he finally just said what? Sleep on now. The Son of Man is betrayed. Sleep on. Son of Man is betrayed. So really horrible things happen when we don't pray for our own deliverance. We don't pray for the victory in our own lives. We end up betraying the Son of Man. We end up denying him, cursing him, hanging around with people who hate him at the fires in Caiaphas's house, forsaking him and fleeing when someone asks, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" Horrible things happened that day, that night, when they forgot to pray for their own deliverance about temptation. Even though they were warned by the Lord, came back three times and said, "You gotta pray, you gotta pray, you gotta pray." Sleep on now. Are we asleep tonight? Regarding verse 4. And then perhaps we're defeated because we have failed to pray for deliverance. Deliverance to be rescued and to be preserved from evil. So I want to make two statements tonight and fill in the blanks with some things. First of all, we are delivered from the past by being rescued. We are delivered from the past by being rescued. We call it salvation. I love the way Charles Wesley put it in a song, and some of you know this song. He said, "Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. I woke, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee." Can you picture somebody in shackles in a dungeon? They got four shackles on them, one on each wrist and one on their legs, and they're not going anywhere. But the songwriter said that the Lord, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ came into his life, and his chains fell off, his heart was free. He rose, went forth, and followed thee. And that's the picture of salvation. We are forgiven for our past sins in Christ. We are delivered from the penalty of those sins, and we are delivered from the power of those sins. And that's right there where very few people understand the whole work of Calvary. It is not just to be delivered from the penalty of our sins, but from the power of our sins. Our old man was crucified with Christ, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so there's a whole lot more in Calvary than just being delivered from the penalty of sin. It's also being delivered from the power of sin. We find that in Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 8 and verse 31, it says this, verse 32 rather, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 36, "If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed." So we are made free through the Word of God. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth is the Word of God, and is also Jesus Christ, the liberator. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." And so he comes in at salvation into the dungeon of our life, and he takes every shackle off of us, and he leads us out of prison. It's funny, though, how many people bolt right back into prison and start putting the shackles back on. You know, I kind of liked it in there. Being a slave. Well, the Lord set us free from that. Go. We are forgiven. We are forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of his blood. Ephesians 1, verse 7 says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." It talks about overcoming. It talks about Satan in Revelation 12 and verse 10. And it says, "And they overcame him." It doesn't say he overcame them, like he did to Eve in the garden. No, it says they overcame him. How? "By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." They died to self. They had a salvation testimony, and that testimony was faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. It says they overcame him. He didn't overcome them. Yet the history of many people is that Satan is just constantly overcoming them, throwing them right back in the dungeon. Is your faith tonight in the blood of Jesus Christ? Do you have a testimony? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you have a testimony tonight? A testimony of salvation. I like the Sword of the Lord article out here. We got a few left. They're out this door here on your way out if you want to take one out. I love John Rice. I always have. His simplicity is just profundity. Front page, top article, instantaneous conversions. Instantaneous conversions. And he gives in this article example after example after example after example after example of those who are instantaneously converted to Christ. Conversion is not some process. It is something that happens the instant you believe on Jesus Christ, your chains fall off, you're free. I wonder if you have a testimony tonight. Have you ever met Jesus Christ? Can you recite something that resembles a testimony? I know, you know, I don't even remember the exact date, but boy, I sure remember sitting in church one day when I was about 12 years of age and praying a sinner's prayer. I didn't just pray a prayer, though. I believed on Jesus Christ as my Savior. And He forgave me and He saved me and He lifted a load of guilt off of me. Man, something happened. There was an instantaneous work done in me. You know, if every one of you got out your physical birth certificate, there would be a date and an exact time on there when you were born. And it's the same way with being born again. There is a date and a time when you say, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe. Now, you may not have remembered it, the exact date or time. Some people don't. I don't. But I sure remember being there. It says they love not their lives unto the death. You're saved through the blood, through the word of your testimony, that salvation experience day. And if you're here tonight and you say, I'm clueless on what you're talking about, then maybe today. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the what? Day of salvation. It's not something you work into or try your hardest to earn all of your life. Something you receive, instantaneous conversion. They love not their lives unto the death. We need to die to self. And we overcome Satan. It says right there. He doesn't overcome us. See, remember a couple weeks ago, I passed out this sheet. It's called Victory Verses. I got some left here if you didn't get one or you weren't here. When you read the tenor of these words, when you read these verses and you get the spirit of these words, God's plan is for us to live in victory, not in defeat. Listen to the spirit of these words as I read some of them. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Jude 1:24. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Romans 6:7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Romans 6:18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:22, being now made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Romans 8:37, Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, does that sound like defeat? No, it sounds like the intentions of God's plan and the spirit of the Word of God and the tenor of His words is that we ought to be living in the victory over every sin, over every temptation. We ought to be released from addictions and lusts and habits and so on and so forth. You say, but I'm not. It's because of this lesson tonight. There is a failure in our prayer life. Our Lord taught us to pray and deliver us from evil. He taught us to pray that. But if we fail to pray tonight, you know, I'm not going to ask you to raise hands, but I wonder if we did that tonight and said, how many of you have failed to pray that prayer sincerely, fervently for yourself today? Raise your hand. I wonder how many would raise their hands. I wonder how many would say, you know, I've never even thought about praying that prayer in a long time. And then we wonder. See, it is not God. It's us. It's we are not appropriating this instruction into our lives by faith. The Lord, they said, teach us to pray. And so he says, okay, now here's what you need to say. You've got to get to this subject where you say, Lord, deliver us. Did you notice it was all the Lord and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, not you. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. See, it's all about how God can give us his power to keep us from falling and to present us faultless. But we're self-confident and we're proud. And often we're saying, well, I'm not doing too bad. This gives us the victory. We are saved from wrath through faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 5:8, and it's immediately. Jesus rescued us. He rescued us. It's like you and I were drowning in an ocean and with strength almost gone and about ready to bob up for the last time and take our last breath. He comes along and we just scream out with our last breath, Lord, save me. And he reaches down in the boat and picks us up and brings us to safety inside the boat. But boy, it seems like as soon as we get the chance, we jump right out of the boat again. Back off into sin. Rather than staying close to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to kid you tonight. We still struggle with evil and with the evil one. But I don't know any inmate who likes to hang around the old prison he was released from. And yet believers like to hang around that old stuff they were released from. Real close, you know, right up on the fence looking back in. We need to get away from that stuff. But I want to say, second of all, number one tonight, I said we are delivered from the past by being rescued. When we said, Lord, save me, he delivered you. Didn't you have that experience where he delivered you from your sins? Now why then can't we think he can't continue to? He delivered us from all of our past sins, their penalty, their power over us. Why do we not then think he doesn't have the power to continue to do that till we die? He does. I'm going to show you a few verses on that here in closing. We don't have to accept defeat. None of us who are God's children have to accept defeat. So number two is this. We can be continually preserved from evil and the evil one, now and in the future. Let me say that a few times. We can be continually preserved from evil and the evil one, now and in the future. And I'm going to prove it with some texts here. Turn with me to Galatians chapter number 1. Galatians chapter number 1. We can be continually preserved. Thank God we've been rescued and delivered from our past sins. But God is great enough to deliver us from our present sins and any future evil we may face. I want you to see this here. Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might deliver us from this, what's the next word? present evil world according to the will of God. And so what's God's will according to that verse for you and me? To be delivered from this present evil world. That's His will. Now, does not the Bible say that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us? And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions we desire. See, we need to take the Word of God into our prayer life. When you pray, I want to strongly encourage you to quote Scripture. Quote Scripture back to the Father. Claim His promises. You could say, Father, You have said in Your Word that if I ask anything according to Your will, You hear me. And if You hear me, I know that I have the petitions that I've desired of You. Now, Your Word says right here in Galatians 1 and verses 3 and 4 that Jesus Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and the Father. That He might deliver us. Not me trying harder, but me trusting more. Trusting more in Jesus Christ. Saying, Lord Jesus, I'm no match for evil. It'll win every time it fights me, but evil is no match for You. Lord Jesus, give me Your power. That's what verse 4. This is why Jesus came right here in verse 4. Why don't we use what He came for? Why don't we use what He came for? He didn't just come to save you so that you could be defeated the rest of your life by some lust. Or some pride, or some anger, or some habit, or addiction. No, He came to save you from hell, the penalty of sin, but also the power of sin. He wants to, I think that's where we really glorify God, is when we walk in the deliverance that He has prepared for us. Now, remember the tenor of God's words in those victory verses. They're victorious, not defeatist. You know, once in a while you hear someone walking around dragging their lower lip on the ground saying, well, the rapture's coming and the Bible says it's going to get worse and worse and worse until the Lord comes and there's not much else we can do about it and these are the days of apostasy. And they quote all this prophecy rather than quoting all these promises. When Paul talked about how bad the world was going to get in 2 Timothy chapter 3, at the conclusion, he said, but continue thou in the things that you have learned. So the world's going to get worse, but you just continue in the things you've learned and been assured of. And we can live in the victory. Let me give you a better one, 2 Corinthians 1. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That verse talked about how Jesus Christ has the power to deliver us from this present evil world. That's great. He's already delivered us from our past. We just read where He can deliver us from our present. Now here's an even greater promise. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. And that's, of course, in my opinion. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God that raiseth the dead. Now here it is, who delivered us from so great a death, that's past, and doth deliver, that's present, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. What's that? Future. You see, Jesus Christ came to deliver us from our past, present, and future battles that we have with evil. This is the ability of God who delivered us. Doesn't say you deliver yourself by trying harder. Boy, I'm going to try harder not to sin today. No, it's not willpower. It's trusting His power. In past, present, and future, it is the will of God that you and I walk in the victory. So I want to encourage you to claim these promises. There's a couple verses I've given you tonight. Galatians 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, you might want to commit them to memory and quote them in your prayer life. But you got to get around to this. You got to get around to this. And sometimes I'm telling you, there's sometimes I'll pray for everybody and everything except myself. And all of a sudden, down I go into defeat, and I have to start reevaluating things and say, man, I haven't asked God for his deliverance. And you have not because you ask not. How are you doing tonight? Are you living in the victory? Are you living in the victory? Or are you living in some sin, some mental sin in your thought life, some sin of the heart? Jesus talked about those sins of the heart, didn't he? Adulteries, fornications, lasciviousness, pride, evil and covetousness and idolatry. He said all those evil things proceed from the heart and defile a man. How you doing? Have you been praying like Jesus taught us to pray? Lord, deliver me from evil. Deliver me. Rescue me from evil tonight. If you need to be saved, that's your prayer. Preserve me from evil. The word deliver has those two meanings. Rescue or preserve. Past or present deliverance is how Jesus taught us to pray. Double deliverance. Through prayer. Through prayer. Well, I'll close with this. Sometimes victory is the worst thing that can ever happen to us. And sometimes maturity is one of the worst things that can ever happen to us, because then we think we've arrived. We don't need to pray anymore. We don't need to pray as fervently anymore. Folks, it seems to me in closing that if the world's getting more and more evil, that we should be praying this prayer we talked about tonight more and more. In fact, maybe several times a day, stopping and saying, Lord, help me. And I'll just say something right here. Man, it's summertime. You ladies are clueless on what I'm talking about. But men, it's summertime. You better be praying more right now. You better be praying more right now than any season of the year. Because it's flat out satanic out there. And you better be praying, and this better be on the tip of our tongues constantly all day. Oh God, deliver me from evil. Oh God, deliver me from evil. Oh God, deliver me from evil. We have not because we ask not. Are we asleep in this area? Are we asleep in this area? The disciples were asleep. Could you not watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Boy, finally the Lord just said, sleep on now, for the Son of Man is betrayed. What a horrible thing. All right, let's pray. Our heads are bowed.